Huzzah, Rangers! This is Phil Harris here at the Jacks Rangers Show. I am joined with Coach Scott Matthews. Scott, how the hell are you?
Good, thanks, Phil. Always a pleasure to be on the show.
A pleasure to have you join us. Dave is joining right as we speak, so I'm going to get Dave up here. Dave, how the hell are you? Dave, how the hell are you?
Dave, how are you going?
Uh-oh. We'll kick him off the stream for now. He's having some audio issues, guys. I'm going to quickly go over our sponsor for this and every single evening and every single episode of the Jacks Rangers Show. That is going to be Inkify. Custom printing and embroidery since 2010, Inkify provides high-quality decorated apparel nationwide. From ordering the apparel to printing, adding a private label, folding, bagging, and fulfillment, they handle it all so you don't have to. Head over to Inkify.com to get started on your order and tell them TJRS sent you, and you'll get 15% off of your entire order. That is a hell of a deal. I've got some questions here that aren't necessarily negative, Scott, but just aren't very positive. So I'm going to start off with some positive questions this evening, just to kind of get the vibe going here. You're the head coach of the New England Free Jacks, so there's no real wrong answer here. If you were going to live anywhere in New England, obviously Massachusetts is the place where the Free Jacks are based and Quincy is. But if you had to move to any New England state, what would it be?
Live free or die, baby.
I knew it. I knew it, man. I knew you were a New Hampshire guy. I knew it. What's so awesome about New Hampshire? I mean, I already know, but just let the people know.
Every time we go up there, it's a good, beautiful place, mountains, and you know, it's got the skiing, but it's a bit more free, eh?
It's
got a little bit more. Reminds me of home, back home a little bit more.
I guess is the
best political way I could put it.
I agree, and Bozo is absolutely loving this answer. LFG, the Shire rules. Dave is our Massachusetts ambassador. Let's try to get Dave back on here. Dave, can you hear us?
Yeah, we are good. I'm running without headphones. I'll try to manage my audio all right, but we're up and running.
Excellent. So let's continue with our questions here. What's the most American thing that you've seen since arriving to the United States? Anything come to mind?
Yeah, people shouting out, "America, baby."
It is a thing that people do around here. Well, all around this great nation.
Especially in Houston, where we've been twice this year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you want to talk about living free or dying? Texas is kind of a place for that as well. Like, if you want to feel freedom, Texas is a great state to go to for that as well. I wanted to ask you about beer. Have you tried any lately that are higher on your list than the New England IPAs at Vitamin C?
Just speaking about that, we were there last night, so it's very fresh in my mind. We had Mike Rogers out for a couple of days.
Excellent.
So we thought we'd take him back to his old haunt.
Yeah.
Share a few of those hazy IPAs with him. So it's hard to look past that.
Love that.
Vitamin C, Break Rock, all the guys, Widowmaker, all the guys that sponsor us are the best.
Yeah, of course. All the best ones are the ones that sponsor the Free Jacks. Let's throw Storm along in there as well, right?
Great.
100%. Just quickly, what's your overall impressions of the season? Like, not zooming too far in, but just overall zoom out impressions.
I think the best way I could probably say is just there's growth to be had, you know? I think this time last year, I think we're sitting at 4-2 or 5-2 as well. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of we're a bit inconsistent. There were some areas that, again, that we need to grow more than others. So I think I feel pretty similar to that. We've obviously had one or two injuries, which we've rallied around. And I think the squad we really lent into the squad a bit more this year. But that's why we contracted a deep squad, we like to think. And yeah, so I just say just there's room for growth. I think that's where my head's at.
It's a great way to describe it. I wanted to ask you about your team talk after the Seattle loss at home. Does this team need to improve upon what do they need to improve upon specifically heading into the second half of the season? And what was your team talk like?
Yeah, I think look, I think set piece wise, our scrum needs to improve. I think that's probably glaringly obvious at the moment. But it's not something that we are, we're concerned, but not overly concerned. I think it's definitely something that we can fix. And I think there's been some really good fixes this week, and where we'll continue to see improvement there. So it's not an area, and it's the area that needs to come right, because you need that functioning at the back end of the season. Mm-hmm. But it's an area that I'm pretty confident we'll get sorted. Aside from that, I mean, if I look back at this game, I mean, there were a couple of things. We weren't happy with the way we executed. You know, we entered their kill zone or their 22-meter 11 times, which is probably the third highest we've done this season.
Wow.
And most of the time, you know, we've only been under 50% of our execution in that area. I mean, 50% is really good if you can get it done. Mm-hmm. We've only been under that, I think, once or twice. So okay. If we get 11 entries there, you know, we're expecting 50%, even underneath that, and we win the game. So we were just off in our execution. We created a lot of opportunities to get that right. And, you know, I think that's probably the biggest disappointment is not getting that right. And I think with the scrum not functioning well, it just doesn't allow you to get a second chance or too many footholds in the game.
Sure.
So I guess, yeah, it was one of those. It's quite a strange game. It's probably the hardest game to review, to be honest, because there's generally a feeling of obviously really real disappointment. And we're like, gee, man, we were slightly off. And but that slightly off was our scrum work and our just finishing. But we did everything to get there. And, you know, you can't ask. If you're creating opportunities, I think that's always a good sign.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of those things where obviously we want to win that game at home always, but Seattle's a very good team. They're in the top of the West for a reason. But again, this team is 5-2. It's not like anybody's hitting the panic button. It's just a couple tweaks with certain things, as you're describing, that need to be fixed, and we'll be right as rain. It's not like we're Old Glory DC sitting at 2 wins, 3 losses, and 2 draws in fourth place in the Eastern Conference. I think we're doing quite a bit better than that at this point. Let's see here. Next question real quick. What went into the decision-making of having Mitch Jacobson as the on-field captain, and what are Josh Larry Larson's responsibilities entail as club captain? What exactly does that mean?
Well, we've got a leadership group that, you know, we, you know, those are the boys that drive basically the program. You know, we meet every week, and that consists of guys like Josh and Mitch and Ben, Kyle. Who am I missing? Mitch Wilson. So there's a couple of guys there that we consider our leaders. Mm-hmm. Josh Larson really leads that discussion. All the in-house functions of the club and day to day, and you know, he's free jack number one. So it's not just the field stuff, but generally, if there's guys that need to chat to someone off the field, or you know, input around what we can be doing in preparation for next week, or what we can be doing in preparation for next month, or you know what I mean, or the players that are struggling with things like that, that's a club captain. You know, he's the overarching captain of the club. Gotcha. Based on his experience and interpersonal connection with people, you know. Right. And he is a on-field captain as well, you know. But Mitch Jacobson is just a fantastic leader on the field. You know, he drives standards really well. He did a great job for us last year. So, you know, and if he doesn't play, then Larry's captain. And if Larry doesn't play, then Ben's captain. So,
gotcha.
It's not a big deal. Like, to be honest, like, any one of those guys can captain the team, and I'm really happy. There's a lot of leaders on this side. It's
totally. That's something that we've talked about all season long, is there's so many leaders on this team. Obviously, Ben, I think, is the captain of Team Canada, which is really, really cool. So, I mean, there's a lot of leaders on this team. There's that leadership group that we've talked about too, but it's nice to know exactly who those names are out there.
And it changes too. Right? It changes. Like last year, we had a couple of guys in the leadership group. Right. A couple of them, we moved out because they were leading different social aspects or different other things, and we grow guys by bringing them into that group as well. So it's pretty fluid. There's a couple of guys that are solid in there, but the rest of it is quite fluid based on a variety of different reasons. So.
Gotcha. We've got a fan question in coming from Ranger Ray. Coach, love the team. Just wondering for a friend, how about reaching out to Bodine W? Is he available? As some backup. I saw that Bodine posted in week 15 there in Japan. I believe he's starting at 10.
Yeah, he's had a pretty good season, man. He's played a lot more, I think, which has been great for him. It's always nice getting quality players into the environment, eh? So
sure,
maybe we need to give him a call, eh?
I know a lot of people would love that for sure, to get him back in the fold here. Let's see here. Mark is actually answering or asking my next question, so let's move over to that. Rangers were very concerned about seeing 2023 forward of the year and 2023 fans player of the year win karate lip off the field around the 70th minute last week. What is his status for LA and beyond?
Are we just pretty much in a process of figuring that out? There's a couple of things that we have to still discuss and just make sure that it's all come through from the doctors. So we're waiting for the final stuff. There's a couple of things left outstanding, but we should have clarity on all of that probably by tomorrow evening. Eh?
So, all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Hoping for the best, obviously, for Wien. A lot of people's favorite Free Jack, definitely up there for me. And what a successful campaign he had that last year. And then this year was absolutely on a tear as well with, I think, one of the highest tackle rates in the entire league. So, you know, he's just doing a fantastic job, and we hope the best for him.
He's a phenomenal player, isn't he? And just phenomenally consistent too, you know. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
We were saying that I don't understand how the rugby, you know, scouting worldwide hasn't picked up on Wien and, you know, got him somewhere else in a higher prestige league. But that's their loss and our gain, of course, with him continuing to be a Free Jack, which we love him here. That's all of my questions for now, Coach. I'm going to take you to Dave here.
Awesome. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you.
Hey, Coach, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, man.
Great to talk to you. My first question is going to be a selfish one and a little bit of a humble brag. My own club, Charles River, is just one win away from the national semifinal weekend. They win down in Delaware next week, they'll go, and I have nothing to do with them anymore. I get to just be a fan and an old boy, which is great. But they have a little bit of a format change. For that final championship weekend, they actually have to play a semifinal on Saturday and then turn around and play a final on Sunday in order to get everything nationwide. You know, it's a big country, travel's a problem, so they bring everybody together from the whole country and do semifinal, final.
Wow.
Do you have any advice? How would you approach such a weird weekend where that's just what you're going to have to do if you want to walk away with a trophy? You got to win a game on Saturday, then you got to win another very competitive game on Sunday.
Are they playing 80 minutes?
I think so. It might be a little short, like 60, 70, but they're not. They're, I believe they're full 80s to just, you know, grind everybody into dust before they send them back to their jobs on Monday.
If they had an elite squad of players, then you'd probably look to share the load over those two games. Keep your pivotal guys playing, but share the load where you can would be the best, especially in the high attrition positions. But otherwise, you need to probably just prime those guys and have a nice, good, long, hard chat around getting ready for 48 hours of brutality and really theme and frame that up so they're ready to understand that their bodies are not going to feel well. And that's just the way it is. That's all you got. And massive rest and recovery. There's going to have to be some really non-drinking on the Saturday nights, and depends what the if vibe is what you're going for, get the beers out. If performance on the Sunday is what you're going for, you probably need a good early sleep and get those skin tights on or something like that, and see how they go.
Keep the blood clean and get it flowing, right?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how they do. I'll let you know. Hopefully they awesome. bring back a win next weekend. They'll be playing down in Delaware. And then I think 2 weeks after that is the big Jamboree weekend in,
that's very cool.
I believe in Texas. In June, coming up, the Free Jacks will be hosting a coaching series. The full staff are going to give talks on attack, leadership, defense, scrums, lineouts, S&C, performance, spread out over a few different days. Registration is open for coaches who are interested. Have you started planning those sessions yet? And what can attendees expect to hear about from you?
I haven't started planning it yet, but I've done a fair few attack seminars, especially through Mark's inside running stuff and a couple more. So there's quite a bit of stuff that I have available for that. So what it would be is just figuring out, I'll just try and get a heads up from Wheels, you know, just what, who are the guys attending, what is their specific needs, and try and tailor towards what they'll be needing or wanting, you know. So I'll probably just get a little bit of a feeler for around Wheels about what is the biggest areas in the attack that the guys are interested in, because it's quite a broad base, isn't it? Just attack, there's so many forms of it. So I'll probably once I've figured that out a little bit, then I can tailor it to those guys a bit better, eh? But it'll be all encompassing, you know. It'll I think the biggest part is that there'll be a bit of dialogue there, you know. So I think often the best learning is from being able to ask questions and to, you know, go deeper in it that way, I think is really important, you know, rather than me just standing up there just telling people what it is. And some of it can just be go over their head, or some of it can be, you know, not correct, not too well explained. So it's just I think the dialogue is very, very important, eh? And I think that's what people get, is that coming in, you're going to get that dialogue and you're going to be able to delve deep into things that you actually need as a coach. And I think that's important.
Yeah, that's great. I know those sessions are all planned to have both presentation and Q&A and be really right there at the where the work gets done at Hancock Street in Quincy. So a pretty exciting chance for people to see behind the scenes and get some great insights. We have a few players currently out on loan to other teams. We've got Tavita down in Miami, Junior Goffa with Charlotte. Can you talk a little bit about how loans like this, you know, I think fans' first reaction is going to be like, why are we helping these guys out? You know, they're in our conference. These are our boys. But this is something that, you know, benefits the Free Jacks in the long run. So can you talk about why that is or how that is? What do we gain from letting our players play on other teams?
I think the biggest challenge that the league faces at the moment, and I think all teams, is that there's no, you know, aside from the independent games that you get, and there's just a handful of them, you know, and there's always a bit of difficulty around the, I was trying to fill earlier about insurance and making sure the guys are covered, especially the foreign boys, you know, getting these guys game time. So they're training, but, you know, we all know, like, it only gets you so far, and it's the games that playing rugby is what these guys need. They need to play. So where else can you get them game time then? Well, the only answer is with other teams. So, you know, I think just the fruit of what we're seeing at the moment has been invaluable. I mean, guys like Junior Gaffer are getting starts every week in this competition. Arvin Pula getting a lot of opportunities there. Tavita, you know, is getting a start this week for Miami. That's fantastic for us. You know, when we get them back here, these guys that have played rugby, they've got better. They've, you know, that's what we want. You know, and all these players, there's always a discussion with these guys too, and you know, we make sure that everyone's on the same page with this, and they see it as a great opportunity as well. You know. Yeah, so it's a no-brainer for me. You know, where can we get these guys time? Okay, well, let's see if we can make this happen.
I have to think it would be pretty fun as a player. You know, as long as you said, everybody's on the same page. The idea to kind of go be a mercenary for anywhere from a few weeks to a season, and then come back to your team and bring what you learned and what you know to bring it to the next level, seems like a pretty cool opportunity.
Yeah, we've been enjoying the tales of Tavita Solli, the chronicles of Tavita Solli at the Free Jacks. He always sends us a little video of himself sweating and enjoying the obscene heat there in Miami. And so it's been good fun, eh?
Yeah, it's It's a different, whole different world down there on the southern tip of Florida. It'll cook you day and night. When you have a match, say a home game, you're going to be busy. You have obviously a lot to do on that day, but it's also, I have to expect, pretty fun for you as well still, or why would you do such a challenging job? When does that tingle of excitement really set in for you on match day? Is it like first thing in the morning when you get up? Is it when you walk into the stadium for the first time? When does it really hit you?
Yeah, I think the stadium, arriving at the stadium brings the excitement. I think before that, you know, you're connecting with the players, and there's like any, I suppose more so for coaches, because it's completely out of your hands. The nerves are always there, you know, but I think the stadium brings the energy and the excitement for me. You know, it's just the people in the parking lot, you know, you can just feel the noise and the vibe just starting to bubble up a bit. So that's when it gets really cool, I guess. So, yeah.
I feel the same way as a fan. I know that you're excited, you know, you're going to do your favorite thing, but the vibe just changes when you actually walk through that gate. You feel the energy, everybody's having a good time. You really start to zone in.
Yeah, the difficult part is to, I think, is to try and just keep as level as you can, which is I'm usually very unsuccessful at that in the coach's box, because you know the more the fan you are, the less the coach you are, you know. So that's probably the difficult part, you know. It's just containing those emotions a little bit, and I'm still trying to work on that. But yeah, I think if you can just keep those slightly submerged, I think you can make probably clearer decisions and things there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely a challenge. It seems like it's been a little bit harder this year for us to lock in those try bonus points. Do you think that defenses across Major League Rugby are getting better? We know that teams are always kind of, everybody's improving, and it's a race to improve faster than other teams. But do you feel like the defense has made a bit of a jump this season across our opponents?
Potentially a little bit, I guess. I'm still happy with how many tries we've scored. We've scored a lot of tries. It just hasn't worked out that we've landed four on each week, but I think we're sitting, if not second or third on the try scoring chart, with a game in hand, I think, on Chicago, who are highest. So I'm not too worried about that. You know, it's like, it's going to fall. It's going to, if you're attacking, you're scoring tries, it's going to fall right, you know, if you know what I mean. Teams have improved, no doubt. I think what we're seeing, and which is what you can't underrate or you can't underestimate, is the will of the team that plays against the reigning champions. So every time we do a preview of a team, and, you know, these are their weaknesses, and these are where we can, these are their threats or whatever it is, we're finding that we'd have to add about 10 to 15% onto them. Like, oh, it's not that of a weakness anymore. Their energies is just taking that out of play, or they've got a bit more physicality than, you know what I mean? Those type of things. So, and that's every single game. So it's a massive challenge. There's a reason why it's very difficult to master, you know, another season like that, because you first have to deal with your own players' achievement, and then making sure that they grounded going into every single game, which I think we've done a really good job at. I think it's not easy even from the start, even for this group of guys. But then the second part is that you've got teams who are just, that's their fizzed up for their biggest game, you know. Which, and it's great if we get through, if we come through this, and we will come through this, is you've then sharpened yourself really well for the back end.
Yeah, I think I love the trajectory of, you know, we now is the time to make mistakes. Now is the time to make fixes. You know, if we improve week over week, you know, another 7-8 weeks from now, just unstoppable. That's the real goal. You can't be perfect every match all the time, you know, in every area. It's always about hitting that stride and hitting it when it counts the most. Speaking of hitting stride, can you walk us a little bit through a really impressive win against Houston? The boys were really explosive, able to put together something really clean on the road. Looked like, especially toward the end of the game, Houston, they just not able to keep up with the pace that we were able to bring to the pitch. How did that come about, and what were your feelings about that as the coach?
Yeah, I think part of the difficulty in the Seattle game was the euphoria of the Houston game, you know, because we'd gone to a ground which is really difficult to go to, playing against a team that was unbeaten, you know, and to win that, executing a plan that was really to drive up the amount of ball in play, to move the ball more, to be brave with the ball, which is something, you know, we probably haven't done that much, and to then pull that off, and the change room was a real happy one. And I think coming off that high and then starting again, you know, with obviously a long flight back, two flights, you know, battered bodies from the physical contact of a Houston game, you know, then to build that up on a Monday, Tuesday, and then get yourself ready. It's more a mental fatigue than it is a physical fatigue, you know, and to make sure that the players can get up for the, you know, just find that same trajectory and get to that height again was probably what we struggled with. And we probably learned a lot of lessons from that, around how we go about that week better, you know, and after something like from a win like Houston. But yeah, that was pretty much it, you know, just around keep being brave with the ball, making their forwards get off the ground a lot, moving the ball, making them move a lot. You know, we found a pretty interesting with, you know, often a long kicking game keeps forwards in the middle of the field and they don't move at all. They just rest. So we had to figure out, well, how else are we actually going to get them to move, you know? We're not going to be able to kick it long then. So there's a couple of things we just did a bit differently. Obviously our set piece still struggled. I think everyone's set piece has been struggling. I mean, I say set piece, scrum has been struggling against the Houston, and we carried it into Seattle, which wasn't good. But yeah, just a really good one. And the interesting thing is, you know, we had our highest amount of entries into opposition 22 in Houston. There was 13. We scored 7 tries. We then went with our second highest against Seattle, and with 11, but we only scored 3 tries because we weren't, and we had chances. Like, let's be honest, there was a couple of open try lines really where we just didn't finish it off, you know. So that's the difference. And like, Houston scored how many against us? Was it 5 or 6? It was a lot. So Seattle only scored 3 against us. So if we had converted a couple more, then we'd be sitting here going, well, sheesh, well, it's a, you know what I mean? So there's fine margins, eh? We were just slightly off. And then I think that a large role to play with coming off a big win like that. So it's a big learning for us. But there's still a lot to be happy about.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that insight, and how the interplay there between those two matches, the Houston win and then taking it into Seattle. I always really enjoy talking to you, Coach. This has been great. I have one last question, which is just to give you a platform to brag a little bit about any players, new players who you feel have really stepped up this season, returning players who maybe moved to a new level, guys who've been performing great in training but haven't been able to get it, you know, as much of an opportunity on the field, and fans might not have seen. I always love hearing coaches talk about their boys, so this is your chance.
Yeah, I think a player who I've been really impressed with, and he's only got a couple of moments in games, but the future is very bright for him, is Killian Coughlin. You know, we've got a really loaded center corps, so he's going to have to bide his time a bit, but you know, what we see in training and when he gets on the field, he's really is a exciting player. So, and he's an Irish guy, but he was born in Boston, Massachusetts. So actually a local then, if you would, so that, which was just pretty cool. I think the arrival of Piers van Dalen, I think Piers has got some really good starts, and his transition from university to professional has been a good one. You know, I think he's just starting now to really have to find that consistency and physicality week to week, and that's just normal. Like, there's no way a guy can just come in, and I think we've probably been a bit too expectant from a guy who's just come from university and only come in who's been in our system for so long. But I'm really proud of where he's at and where he's going. Because the future is also so really bright there. There'll be a lot more. But I think those two guys at the moment stand out for me for prospects, I guess. Wayne van der Bank, it's really great to see, his form at the moment. And, our center, we got some really good centers. That's a tough conversation every week, isn't it? With LaRue, him and Ben, they're all star players. And it was just good to see him hitting some form and playing really well, which is awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad it's you making those choices and not me. I think I might end up flipping a coin. Sure. I know Mark shouted out Seta Baker, who's been another who's really impressed some fans as one of the arrivals. Von Dadelson, I can't remember exactly who it was against, but a few weeks ago, it was like minute 65, and he looked as fresh as a puppy. I mean, just springing up off the deck, so much energy. That really impressed me. Was just down to play. Like, he was there to get as much work as he could find on the pitch.
I mean, there's been so much improvement. If I look at Malachi, coming into a different environment from, it's work, like literally worlds apart, and just seeing how he's grown in the environment and got comfortable, and now he's doing some really cool stuff on the field, man. He's in and amongst it. So I'm loving his growth. Jackson Thebes, it was always going to take him some time to come from 2 years out, but what a performance he put on the weekend coming off the bench. And, so that's exciting for us going forward, isn't it? Just what he offers and the physicality that he brings and the heart that he brings. So, and then I think one guy that we like is old Larry, coming off that injury last year, he's put in some real rock solid performances, a lot of tackles, a lot of carries, just that work that goes often unnoticed. He's doing a lot of it. So again, it's great to see that guys can come off injuries, or guys that are coming into new environments, and guys that are coming from universities and stuff are all going in the direction that we want, and that's I think that speaks to the coaches, the S&C, just everyone doing things right to get these guys going the right way,
Well, the present is bright. The future is bright. It's good to be a New England Free Jack. Thank you, Coach, for your time. I'll give it back to Phil. This has been great, as always.
Awesome. Thanks, Dev.
All right. We got another question from Ranger Mark here real quick. Do in-game decisions to kick for points or into the corner come from the on-field captain, coach, and staff, both?
Most of the time, the players are empowered to do that, eh? Mm-hmm. We have conversations before the game around, what the overall idea is. I will, if there is a time where I think this has to be, then I'll tell our guy to run on with the tee. They can see him coming on, but that's very seldom. Once in a while. If I might do that, but most of the time, to be honest, if I've got the guy running on the field, they've made the decision anyway to go for poles. So right. I think we're pretty much aligned. There was one on the weekend which was pretty cool, actually. We opted to go for touch. I think it was in the first half, and I was saying the same thing: go for touch. But that they've gone through multiple phases of defense, and just so happens that we didn't execute that 5 meter lineout. So
yeah,
In hindsight. I probably still would have done the same thing, to be honest.
Hell yeah, I love that. I just realized today is our third birthday for this show.
That's awesome.
Incredible, right? Like, I would have never guessed that this would have happened, and for this to take place and be 3 years in, I'm just over the moon with TJRS and your involvement. I appreciate you always coming on here, being available. One of the things that's really cool about you being here is just like, you're the head coach of the Free Jacks, like, and you're on a fan show. That's awesome to begin with. But another aspect of this is like, every time I'm smiling and nodding my head, you're confirming a take that we've had on the show prior to you being here, like talking about all teams, like, you know, perform better against the champions, and they were like, yes, we've talked about that all year long. So that type of stuff I really appreciate. It makes me think, I don't know everything, but I know some things about what's going on with this league and whatnot. So appreciate that. Any final thoughts for the Rangers out there? I'm going to open the floor up for you to speak directly to the fans.
I just think it's going to get tough. It's going to get tougher. We always want to enjoy what the past, and we enjoy the fact that we've won a championship, but that doesn't mean anything this year, you know, to other teams or anyone else. You know, it means to us because it's great. But I just think the longer, like, I think so I speak specifically for our players and manager, if we harbor on that, or we think back to that, and this is what we were, and this is how we did it, and this is, then you never progress, then you never go forward. But you got to start, you know, it's all about diving into this year. Okay, teams are a lot more juiced up for us this year, or have a lot more motivation, or there's a bit stronger squad depth and other sides this year. It's going to be tighter. We're going to have to win differently. We have to win, and we have to find different ways to win. But I think that's an important thing to understand. Like, we don't want to be having lost two games at home. Sheesh. But there are things there that are still in line with our success. You know, if we had just done better here, it would have been a different story, and so on and so forth. So I think it's just remaining positive around the fact that, oh, some things might not be working, but this is not last year. This is a new year, and there's different things that we have to do, and there's different ways we have to find little zigs and zags to go this year, which is going to be different. And just understanding that this journey is going to be a different one. You know, it's not going to be the same, but at the end of the day, we're going to find a way, which is important. You know, and I think the squad is doing that, and I think there's the coaching staff and everyone is really all about solutions, just finding different ways. Well, how can we get this better, or how can we grow in the right direction here? So, yeah, I'm really happy with where we're at. I could be happier, yes, but I'm happy where we're at, and I'm excited for what's to come.
Same here, man. I mean, I couldn't have put it better myself. Scott Matthew, I appreciate you being on here. This has been fantastic. We've got one word to exit the video in 3, 2, 1. Huzzah! Huzzah!